Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will start a brand new series of studies here on the program, a series entitled The Churches of the Gentiles. Romans chapter 16, verses 3 and 4 will be our starting point for this series of studies. So if you'd like to take a moment now, get your Bibles, and turn with us to the 16th chapter of the book of Romans. And as you do that, I'll remind you once again that you are watching Grace Alive. And at the end of the program, we'll give you complete information about how you can contact us here if you have any questions or comments about our program, or if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs, or the DVDs of this entire month's series of studies. And as I said, we'll give you that information at the end of the program. So as you get your Bible, you might want to get a pen or pencil, some paper, get that information down at the end of the broadcast. Right now, Romans chapter 16 and verse 3. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 3. As I said, this is our starting point for this series of studies as we look at the churches of the Gentiles. In Romans 16, 3 and 4, we read this: "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." In this passage of Scripture, Paul uses a phrase that, frankly, is pretty easy to skip over. Paul, here in the 16th chapter of Romans, is making his greetings to those there at the church at Rome, talking about, you know, say hello to this person, salute this person, don't forget about this person. And in the middle of that, he lists Priscilla and Aquila, and he mentions something about Priscilla and Aquila that, as I said, you could be inclined to just kind of read over it and skip over it lightly. But it's really a very, very important phrase, and it's a very important phrase to help us understand dispensationally what is happening as Paul writes the book of Romans, what's happening with Paul's ministry, and what's happening with those to whom he's ministering. He says in verse 4 there about Priscilla and Aquila, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Paul talks about the churches of the Gentiles giving thanks to Priscilla and Aquila, who have laid down their necks for his life and for his ministry. The phrase we want to focus on, and where we get our title for this month's series of studies, is that last phrase in verse 4, all the churches of the Gentiles. We want to talk about, in this series of studies, why that phrase is significant. Why is it that for Paul to talk about the churches of the Gentiles is something that we just can't skim over lightly, something we just can't take lightly, but something that we really need to consider, and something that we need to consider the importance of in a dispensational context, in the context of Paul's ministry, in the context of those churches that he's writing to, not only at Rome, but the churches, plural, of the Gentiles, the church at Rome, at Corinth, the churches of Galatia, at Ephesus, at Colossae, all those churches Paul writes to. What is the significance of those churches and of those churches being churches of the Gentiles? And if we can understand the importance of that phrase, the churches of the Gentiles, and why that is so significant, and why you'll not see that phrase in other places in the Bible. You'll not see other Bible writers talk about the churches of the Gentiles. You'll not see other Bible writers write to the churches of the Gentiles as Paul does. In fact, Paul's letters that we have in the canon of Scripture, most of our New Testament, is Paul's letters to the churches of the Gentiles, these churches that he speaks of. So what is the significance of those churches? That's what we'll consider in this month's series of studies. We're going to begin today by not looking at the churches of the Gentiles, but by going back a little bit and by looking at a time before the churches of the Gentiles, by looking at not churches and Gentiles, but at a separated nation, one nation, the nation Israel. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians 2, Paul will explain to us a little about this time period that we're going to look at today, time past. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 11, we read this: "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time you're without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Paul tells us in that passage, he writes about a time in time past. Not the current time as he's writing these epistles, not the time as he's writing to those churches of the Gentiles, not the time when those churches of the Gentiles are in existence, but a time in time past. Remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands. So he talks about a time in time past when there is a division in humanity. And that division in humanity is based upon circumcision and uncircumcision. The circumcision being the children of Israel. If you read on in verse 12, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. How is it that you were without Christ? What made you without Christ? Well, you were an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. You weren't a part of that chosen nation. You weren't a part of those people. You were not a physical descendant of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And the distinction that is made, the division that is made there in time past is between those two groups of people, between the circumcision, those are the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the uncircumcision. Now, further down in the passage, Paul uses a phrase, and I'm going to use it here in this discussion, so we'll go down and read the verse, verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. God refers to, in that passage, that division between circumcision and uncircumcision, between Jew and Gentile, as the middle wall of partition. If you look at that wall in the Old Testament, you actually find out that it was an enclosing wall. Sometimes when we think of middle wall, we think one people on one side, one on the other, and that is certainly true. But we need to think of that wall as a wall that enclosed the nation Israel. In Isaiah chapter 5, God says he planted his nation in a very fruitful hill and he hedged it round about. That is, he built that wall of partition, that wall of division around the nation Israel to make them separate, to make them different. So we'll just illustrate that on the board, that we have what Paul refers to as the circumcision, and then we have around the circumcision this wall, the middle wall of partition, he calls it in verse 14. Outside of that wall are the uncircumcision. These people on the inside would be called Jews at other places in Scripture. On the outside, Gentiles. And in time past, there is this division, this distinction. Let's get a couple verses to demonstrate that. 1 Kings chapter 8. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 8. And in 1 Kings, we read about that division, that distinction in humanity. 1 Kings chapter 8, and let's look at verse number 51. 1 Kings 8 and verse number 51. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of fire. In thine eyes, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. Thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth. There is a separation, a division between the circumcision, the nation Israel, the Jews, and the uncircumcision, the Gentiles. I have separated you from the people of the earth. Turn back to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 20. Leviticus chapter number 20. In the law that God gave to Israel, he made this distinction clear. He uses a very strong word here in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. Ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy and have severed you from other people that ye should be mine. God says about this group of people, the circumcision, I have severed you from other people. The word sever is a strong word. If your arm is severed, it doesn't mean it's just cut a little bit or cut a lot even. It means it's completely separated from your body. So when he says, I have severed you, the circumcision, the Jews, I've severed you from other people, it means just that. He's made this distinction in the world. He's made this distinction among the nations. He's called out a group of people to be his unique nation. This nation, and we'll not take time to go into all the detail today. We've done it before in the broadcast. But what makes this, what identifies this nation is the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said to Abraham, I will make of you a great nation. This is that nation. That nation came through Abraham, not through his son Ishmael, but through his son Isaac. Not through Isaac's son Esau, but through his son Jacob, who became Israel. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's name is changed to Israel. Israel has 12 sons. Those 12 sons become the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. We call them still today the children of Israel. That's the group of people that is severed from the rest of the nations, that will be dealt with by God in time past, in what Paul refers to in Ephesians 2 as time past. One of the things that God did, let's turn over to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 4. One of the things that God did to make his nation different and to make that separation strong is that he gave to his nation, to this group of people, to the circumcision, he gave to them a law. He gave to them the Mosaic law because he gave it through Moses. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 5, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel. I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Moses tells this group of people, I have given you statutes and judgments as the Lord commanded me. Verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? And you notice one of the things about that law that God gave to Israel is that it's the thing, if you look in verse 6, this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. It is this law that will cause the Gentiles, the nations, to look at Israel and say, what nation is there like this? What other nation is there in the world that God has given statutes and ordinances and judgments as righteous as he's given to this nation, Israel? What other nation is there in the world that has gone so nigh to them that he would give them his statutes and his ordinances? There is no other nation. This nation, Israel, is unique, is special, and the law is one of the things that made it special and unique. Let's turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 2, and look at what Paul has to say about that law that God gave to Israel. Romans, chapter 2, and notice in Romans, chapter 2, let's go down to verse 17. Romans, chapter 2, verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew. So we're talking about these people here. Inside the middle wall of partition. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Paul describes there in Romans chapter 2 what it is that Israel had, the advantage that they had. When they had the law, verse 18 says, and knowest his will and approvest the things that are more excellent. That is, you know, if you have the law, you, Israel, the circumcision, know God's will. And you can approve things that are excellent. That is, that you can make wise choices. You can look at several options, and you, because you know God's will in God's law, you can make the wise choice that God would make. You know his will, and you are able to approve things that are excellent, being instructed. Notice verse 18 ends with being instructed out of the law. Verse 20, you are an instructor, a teacher. Israel becomes the instructor and the teacher of the Gentiles because they have God's law. Now, it's not only the law that God gave to Israel. That's the thing that allowed them to know His will and allowed them to know what He was doing. But also He promised to that nation a land. Turn with me, if you will, back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. I referred to this passage earlier on, but now let's read it. Genesis chapter 12 and beginning in verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. One of the first things that God promised to this group of people, to this circumcision, is a land. He told Abram, you get from your father's house, from your father's country, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. So the circumcision, they have the law, they have land that God is going to give to them. So God is, in time past, from Paul's perspective, as he writes the book of Ephesians and looks back at what God did in time past, and he says there's this division in humanity between circumcision and uncircumcision. You go back there and look at that division. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3 that those out here, the uncircumcision, they are without Christ. They're without God in the world because they're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, because they're not a part of this circumcision of the commonwealth of Israel. They are separated from all that. They're separated from this law that allowed Israel to know God's will. They're separated from this land. God didn't give the Gentiles land. He gave the nation Israel that promised land in the Middle East. Not only a people, or not only rather a law and a land, but He gave to Israel also a governmental structure. If you notice there in Genesis 12, He says, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Well, you've got physical descendants of Abraham that are going to be the people of this nation. He's promising Abraham a land in the passage, so you've got a people living in a land. He's going to give those people a law, which will be the law of the land. When Israel goes in and possesses that land, they will possess that land and live based upon the law in that land. The one thing that they need to go with all that is a governmental structure. If you have a people in a land with some law, you've got almost all the elements you need to have the nation. I will make of thee a great nation. You've got the people, got to have people to have a nation, got to have a place for those people to be, that's the land. Here's the law, here's the covenant, if you will, how we're going to operate in this land, this people in this land. But someone must enforce that law. Someone must enforce that covenant. And that's where the kingdom comes in. That God is going to give to them not just a king, not just a land and a people and a law, but a kingdom. Look over to Genesis chapter 15 and notice that as He gives them that land, as they go into that land, they're going to be people that are driven out of the land, people that will no longer be in the land. Chapter 15, verse 18, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt, unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Cadmonites, the Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaim, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. All these people that are in that land are going to have to be driven out. So God's very specific. Here's the land I'm going to give you. Abraham, you're going to have a multiplied seed. They're going to live in this land. I'm going to drive out the people that are in that land. I'm going to give you a law that will allow you to function in that land. And finally, I'm going to give you a king to reign. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And one of Abraham's descendants, David, is given a promise about the kingship in that land. 2 Samuel 7 and verse number 16. This is Nathan, giving a prophecy from the Lord to David. 2 Samuel 7, verse 16, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever, according to all these words and according to all this vision. So did Nathan speak unto David." That passage gives Israel the promise of a kingdom, a king. And of course, a king reigns in a kingdom. So you have for Israel, and of course, there is implicit in this promise, the people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, you get from where you are into a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. And to make a nation, there will be a multiplied seed come of you, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as you follow those promises through, you see that come to pass. You see Abraham bear a son, Abraham and Sarah bear a son, Isaac. You see Isaac and Rebekah bear a son, and that's or two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob is the one that is chosen. They have a land, they have a law, and they have a king, a governmental structure to enforce the law in that land over those people of Israel. And that forms that nation. That forms those people that Paul talks about and says the circumcision, those ones that are on the right side of the middle wall of partition, those ones that are not excluded by that wall, but are included by the wall. Now, what was God's purpose for doing that? Well, His purpose was to use that nation to go bless the Gentiles. Let's get two passages. Go back there to Genesis chapter 12 that we looked at earlier. And we also want to get Isaiah chapter 2. Genesis chapter 12 and Isaiah chapter 2. Genesis chapter 12 and Isaiah chapter 2. And these two passages will explain to us and describe for us what the purpose of creating this nation was. Genesis 12, look at verse 2. "I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." The purpose for Israel being separated out, being made different, was to bless the Gentiles, the families of the earth. In fact, if you look back to chapter 10 of Genesis, you find out that the Gentile nations, verse 5 of Genesis chapter 10, "By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided, in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations." First time in your Bible that the word nations occurs. And those nations are based upon the families that came from Noah, the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And those families of Noah's sons form the nations that become the Gentiles in chapter 10, verse 5. In chapter 12, God separates out one nation, begins to build one nation, and says, "I'm going to build one nation that I will use to bless the nations, the families of the earth." In Isaiah chapter 2, in a prophecy of Isaiah looking far out into the future, even from where we are today, we see that come to pass. Verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 2. "The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Notice there, many people and many nations will come and go to the mountain of God because we have heard that we can hear the law of God there. All nations shall flow into the Lord's house, to Israel, to Judah, to Jerusalem. This prophecy is about Judah and Jerusalem. "And the nations shall flow into it. The people will say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways." What ways will that be? Well, this law that God gave to Israel. Remember, the Gentiles would say, what nation is there so great that hath God so nigh to them? Well, here they're saying the same thing. We will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law. That nation, what is so unique about Paul talking about the churches of the Gentiles? Well, one of the things that's key to our understanding of why that is so unique and important is to understand what was going on in time past. There was no such thing as the churches of the Gentiles. There was God's chosen nation, Israel. Their purpose was to go out there and minister to the Gentiles. But God's dealing is channeled all through Israel. And we're going to see as we go on that that goal for Israel to go out and minister to the Gentiles never was achieved. There, God dealt with one nation, with one group of people, with one religion, with one temple, with one law. The Gentiles are on the wrong side of all that, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. In this series, we're going to go from the Gentiles having no hope to the and without God in the world to being God manifest in the flesh. So we trust that you'll tune in next week as we continue this series of studies. Until then, we'd like to invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address is www.gracealive.org and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. We look forward to hearing from you this week. If you have questions or comments, if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, CDs, or DVDs of this month's series of studies, just write and request the series on the churches of the Gentiles. We'll get it out to you right away. And until next week, when we continue this series, we trust that God's grace would truly be alive in your life.